The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When Jesus prayed to his Father, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me," what was the cup and how would it pass? What did Jesus mean? Some say this is a crisis of faith or a conflict of faith. Let's talk about it today on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're glad that you've joined us today. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society and our free magazine, Grace in Focus, published six times a year, at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Bob, we have a question that deals with something that... kind of controversial, I guess, but the prayer of the Lord at the Garden of Gethsemane, right?
Yeah, he said, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done."
Right.
I have said on this show before, and I think you have as well, that what the Lord was saying is, "Let me go to the cross." He wasn't pulling back from the cross. He was approaching the cross, and he was saying, "But it's not because it's my will, it's because it's your will."
Right. And most people, when they hear that, they think that Jesus is having a moment of crisis, crisis in his faith.
And they say this is him in his humanity.
Yes, that Jesus doesn't want to go to the cross. And so he's saying, "Okay, I don't want to go to the cross, but you want me to go to the cross. Okay, not my will, but your will. We're going to do what you want."
Okay, and it was the last issue of the journal. We published an article by Dr. Craig Blazing.
Yeah, it was an old one out of JETS, Journal of Evangelical Theological Society.
And he argued, I think, very cogently that what Jesus was saying is, "Let me go to the cross." Because in the Old Testament, whenever there was a cup of wrath, it did not pass until it was drunk.
Right.
You couldn't bypass the cup. And so when Gentile nations were to receive God's wrath, they had to drink it all.
Right.
And in the same way, Jesus is saying this. Now, and you might check out the article by Blazing. Now, it won't be on our website for about a year because we delay for about 2 years, I think, from the time we publish journal articles till we put them up free, because frankly, we would like people to buy our journal since it costs a fair amount of money to publish it. But there is a verse, John 12:27, that I think answers this question. And this is before Gethsemane.
Right.
This is Jesus speaking. And what does he say in 12:27?
In John 12:27, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And this hour is big in John, right? Mm-hmm. "But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name."
So he came for this purpose, and he came to finish the work that the Father had given him. That's another thing he talks about. Well, he couldn't finish the work the Father gave him without going through the cross. And so I see it as an issue of the humanity of Jesus is never opposed to the deity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus is never opposed to the will of God. If it's the will of the Father that he goes to the cross, then even in his humanity, Jesus is fully embracing that.
And this is connected to he's one person. Throughout church history, there's always been this tendency to divide the two, you know, to make him into two persons. You've got the human person, and then you've got the divine person.
Did he have one will, or
right.
did he have two wills?
Right. And that's what we're dealing with
did
here.
Did he have one nature, or did he have two natures?
Right.
I remember I took advanced Christology as a doctoral course under Dr. Walvoord. And Dr. Walvoord, I think, really influenced me in this regard. For one thing, he said Jesus did not have fallen humanity.
Right.
Jesus had perfect humanity. So even if Jesus was not the God-man, as man, he never would have sinned. Just like once we are glorified, will we ever sin?
No.
We'll still be human.
Right.
But we won't sin. Well, if that's what Jesus had...
And we won't be divine.
And we won't be divine, right.
Right.
Now, Jesus happened to be both divine and human, But he pointed out it was perfect humanity and full deity, not partial deity and not fallen humanity, but perfect humanity and full deity. And he argued that, as I recall anyway, that Jesus was a unified person, so that his will was not divided between his human will and his divine will, and his decisions weren't separated from what his deity wanted to do and what his humanity, like he's conflicted.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that's the way this passage is so often taken, that he's conflicted here.
Right.
You know, his deity wants to do one thing, but his humanity wants to do another.
Yeah, and I have good friends that hold that view.
Sure.
And I get it. And okay, I guess it doesn't have a major issue, but how do you deal with John 12:27? Did he somehow, between there and a few hours later, change his mind? And now he is asking God not to go to the cross? And you mentioned when he talks about my hour, how that's a big deal in John's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it starts in the wedding at Cana.
Right, the very first miracle he performs.
Woman,
right.
My hour has not yet come.
Right. So he's looking for it, he's looking for it, he's looking for it. He says, I'm here to do it, I'm here to do it. And then at the last minute, he changes.
Yeah, and he's got people mocking him on the cross, saying, why don't you call for your father, and he'll call you and bring you down. Why don't you ask him to save you? Well, Jesus doesn't do it then, and he didn't do it in Gethsemane either. In Gethsemane, he was wanting to get it over with. He was wanting to go to the cross. It seems to me it's important for us to recognize that.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2024 National Conference is May the 20th through the 23rd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching on the theme of free grace in the epistles of Peter. There's VBS for kids, too. More information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
What Noah is saying here is he cites Hebrews 5:7-8, where there's a verse that says that he was praying with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save him from death. And he goes on. Well, he wasn't praying that he would save him from death. He was praying to the one who was able to save him from death.
Right.
But he didn't ask for that. And he would never ask for that, because if he did, he would be going contrary to the will of the Father.
And I would also say the saving from death is not the way people so often take this verse, save me from dying on the cross. It is the resurrection. I'm praying to the one who's able to raise.
Okay, so I see. So your point would be then, not that he was going to keep him from dying.
Right.
But to save him from dying, which means that on the third day, he would rise from the dead.
Surely that's got to be what that means there in Hebrews
5, that.
Right? You know, he's praying to the one who's able. How about this? He's praying to the one who's able to deliver him from death.
I like that. And you've written a commentary on Hebrews, right?
Right. And I just heard a joke.
Is this in there?
Yes, I believe it is.
Good. Well, yeah. I stand corrected. I like your interpretation better than mine. So he was able to save him from death or deliver him from death.
Right. That article that I'm just going to put a plug in for the journal, of course, Blazing argues for a similar. Well, the main point of Blazing's article that agrees with what we're saying is that he's not saying, I don't want to die.
Right.
And so we have that in common. And you're right. Blazing goes into the thing about, I want this cup to pass through me. What would we say, quickly, or let me drink it fully and completely,
right,
and get on through the other side.
But not because that's what I want,
right,
but because that's your will.
Right. And so it's a completely different way of seeing how Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, what it meant.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to pray about it, think about it, and see what you think. I've got a quick question. I think we've got enough time for this one. It's from Tim. And Tim is talking about that He Gets Us campaign. And he said, I've been hearing more about this organization lately, airing commercials on football games and during the Super Bowl. The organization appears good at first glance, but they intentionally use many politically correct words in their statements and have strong promotions on love and inclusivity. What is your opinion of this group? I looked this up, and I found a good article at tgc.org. They say that on
this is the organization?
Not he gets it. This is another organization that's just responding and criticizing it. They say one of the negatives is they don't say Jesus is God. And another negative is they don't ever present the saving message. They don't ever tell you what it is. Now, TGC is going to have, if I remember correctly, a reform view, a Calvinistic view. So it's going to be some kind of lordship salvation view. But their point is they don't get into that. And they do say, as Tim mentions, they use language associated with a woke culture or a woke agenda. Like they use words like justice and refugee and inclusive and inclusivity. So those are bothersome things. But they do give it the benefit of the doubt by saying maybe it is okay for pre-evangelism. In other words, maybe it will spark some interest in Jesus Christ. And I think that's a good point. Some of these things might get people more interested in Christ. There's also some Catholic things about praying and, you know, starting your day with prayer and using, what's that guy's name that plays Jesus on The Chosen, Jonathan?
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
Rumi, but, I think his name is. He'll do things on prayer, and it's more or less promoting a Catholic agenda. But, you know, God may use that to have some people more interested in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I've seen some of those commercials where they're very Catholic, and don't they even do this, like the sign of the cross or whatever,
yeah,
as they pray?
And by the way, on my mother's side, I grew up Eastern Orthodox, and they don't cross the way Orthodox people cross. Orthodox people put three fingers, your thumb and next two fingers together to form the Trinity.
Oh.
And then you touch your forehead and you go down and you go to the right and then the left. Catholics go left to right, and there doesn't seem to be any manner of how they put their fingers. They can put the whole hand together, one finger, whatever. It doesn't have to be Trinitarian. And so anyway, I don't believe in crossing yourself anyway. But if you are, I kind of like the Orthodox way of doing it with your fingers together so you're forming the Trinity. Anyhow, I would say on this He Gets Us campaign that maybe it can cause some interest in Jesus, but I am a little concerned that it's too woke for me, and I'm a little bit concerned that it's really not going to do much in terms of getting people that interested in Jesus.
And it could lead to confusion, too, if they go to those groups for the gospel,
right,
for example. Well, thanks for those questions. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, Jesus said in a particular instance about a particular demon, "This kind does not come out without prayer and fasting." What did he mean? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.